following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York. I'm back after a week away. I was visiting my mom down in Philadelphia and helping her straighten some stuff up around the house. She's had some health issues the last couple of years. She had knee replacement surgery last year and had some spinal surgery earlier this year. But she's getting around slowly but surely. So we're trying to go through a lot of her things around the house, trying to straighten things up. It's been obviously a tough time for her, but we got a lot of stuff done, and it was a lot of fun to spend the week down in Philadelphia. Also had a chance to check in on the Philadelphia Phillies, two games against the Chicago Cubs that I attended. They both won. Of course, the voice of Scott Giese, he was there with me, along with our other friend Joe Torm. It was sort of a WVYC, York College of Pennsylvania reunion. Joe is a Cubs fan. He was not happy with the Monday result, 10-11-inning victory for the Philadelphia Phillies. And then I went solo on the Wednesday afternoon and saw the Phillies roll to a win over the Cubs and got to stroll the bases after the game at Citizens Bank Park. That was a lot of fun to do that. So I had a great time down there. It was nice to relax a little bit, not worry about work, although I did have a couple stories last week with the Union men's and women's hockey schedules coming out. Before you know it, the season will be here, and of course the M&T Bank Center is the new name of the arena that down there at Mohawk Harbor. So the bank, we'll call it the bank. I had a lot of fun with that. And as I suggested in both my men's and women's hockey stories, M&T Bank also sponsors the arena at Quinnipiac. That's M&T Bank Arena. So maybe Quinnipiac and Union will have the M&T Bank Cup. That'd be a lot of fun. Another trophy for Union to try to win. Of course, it's been a while since the men have beaten Quinnipiac, and I don't think the women have had much success either. But maybe things will change this coming season. We'll see what happens then. But as I tape this segment, it's Thursday, June 19th, and I remember my dad, who passed away July 27th, 1997, of rare brain disease. Would have been 87 today, so if you're listening up there, Dad, happy birthday, and miss you so much and love you. But very good. Podcast is back, and we're going to have talk about the Boston Red Sox. The stunning news on Sunday night, they traded Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants, and our friend Tim Healy. Yes, that Tim Healy. One-time Mets beat writer for Newsday, now is covering the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. I was stunned to see that on X last week. He wrote a story of his Red Sox. He's like, "What is he doing writing a Red Sox story?" And then, you know, go scroll through his feed, and it's like, "Oh, he left. He left Newsday." So we're going to talk to him about that as well. So Tim's been a great friend of the show, and looking forward to getting his thoughts about the Rafael Devers, and we'll talk maybe some Mets as well. Obviously, Juan Soto not doing as well as expected there with the team in Flushing. So, and they have a big series coming up against my Phillies this weekend, three-game series down in Philadelphia. Much-needed series win for the Phillies, hopefully. So we'll see what happens with that. But we'll head into the break, and there was a, you know, while I was away, we had lost two influential musicians, Sly Stone of Sly and the Family Stone, and Brian Wilson, the leader of the Beach Boys, both passed away within days of each other. Just a tough gut punch there, 1-2 gut punch to hear about that. Sly Stone, musical genius, but had some issues. He seemed to mid-70s sort of went off the deep end and just had some issues. And, of course, Brian Wilson also had some issues as well, but he seemed to overcome those in his later years and seemed to enjoy the success of his outstanding career and just a wonderful, wonderful writer, producer. It was really Pet Sounds that really inspired the Beatles to do Revolver and then Sergeant Pepper. And I think I've read stories where Paul McCartney cried when he first heard of God Only Knows. We'll play that a little bit later at the end of the podcast. But as we head into the break, let's hear from Sly and the Family Stone with Everyday People. Rest in peace, Sly Stone. Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in New York.
This message presented by the New York State Public High School Athletic Association and the New York State Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, this is Daily Gazette reporter Ted Remsnyder. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Welcome back to the podcast. Last weekend, the Boston Red Sox swept the New York Yankees at Fenway Park, but that turned out not to be the big news of the weekend. A stunning trade that happened shortly after the Sunday game ended. Rafael Devers was shipped to the San Francisco Giants by the Boston Red Sox. And to talk about that is the man who once covered the New York Mets for Newsday, and I was shocked to see that he has moved to the Boston Globe. I'm glad for him. It's Tim Healy, formerly from Newsday, now Boston Globe. Tim, how are things going?
So far, so good. It's been an eventful few weeks on the job, naturally, but I'm getting my feet under me, and the Red Sox have given me a heck of an initiation here to a new beat with trading their franchise player and going on a hot streak, and there's been plenty going on, plenty to write about. So far, so good.
Yeah, I mean, my son saw it on the trail on X, and I was thinking that was a joke, and then it turned out it wasn't. But we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But I want to get into this first of all. Was there a trade? Did you demand a trade from Newsday? And what did the Red Sox, what did the Boston Globe give up? Were the draft picks involved? Or did you ask for your unconditional release? Or did you go through the transfer portal?
You know, Newsday probably would have liked some draft pick compensation or compensation of any sort, but fortunately, in our industry, we're not restricted by those convoluted rules, and I was allowed to just up and go. So,
how did that come about?
Well, the Globe had an opening, and a couple of my now coworkers reached out to me to say, "Hey, we have an opening." People I've known in the industry for a long time, just from being in Boston previously and just from being a baseball writer for a bunch of years. And when it comes to baseball writing, there are very few jobs that are as meaningful or cool as covering the Red Sox for the Globe. And so I threw my hat in and, you know, I had to at least try. I didn't know what the Globe's plans were as far as if they had an eye on somebody in particular or not, but I threw my hat in and they interviewed me, and after a pretty lengthy hiring process, they landed on me. So it was quite an honor, and it's very cool to be here.
Was it tough to leave Newsday, though?
Definitely tough to leave Newsday because, honestly, there's a lot of similarities between covering the Red Sox for the Globe and covering the Mets for Newsday. So Newsday is a great paper. Fewer and fewer of those, unfortunately, these days, but it was, without exaggeration, the hardest decision of my life.
Well, now you get to at least be, I mean, you're a Boston, you graduate, now you get season tickets to see your hockey team maybe get to a Frozen Four, or actually win a Frozen Four finally after a while.
Yeah, back in Boston for what's been so far quite the Jay Pandolfo era for BU, so that'll be fun.
So let's talk about this whole Devers situation. He's been, as you said, the face of the franchise. The relationship began to sour when they signed Alec Bregman during spring training and asked Devers to move from third base to DH. He sort of balked at that at the beginning. And then first baseman Tristan Casas, maybe I'm mispronouncing the name, sustaining a season-ending knee injury. The Red Sox wanted Devers to play first base, and he said, quote, the front office should do their jobs and look for another player. And Bregman gets hurt, and Red Sox met with Devers, and it seemed like there was an impasse. Is that what you saw from this?
Pretty much, yeah. Rafael Devers, you know, his relationship with the front office clearly had disintegrated, and the front office in turn was worried about what an unhappy Devers would do to the clubhouse, a clubhouse that now features several rookies who the Red Sox hope are very good and with them for a long, long time, but at a very impressionable age, let's say, as far as professional baseball players go. And they found a way to get out from under this contract, DH, or a guy who's now a designated hitter, and which was, you know, always his future, making more than $250 million the rest of the way. So they saw an opportunity and they took it. It's basically a mulligan for the Red Sox, who are still going to try to win this year, but more importantly, have a chance moving forward to take another shot and sign somebody to a Rafael Devers-like contract, whether that's Kyle Tucker this offseason or somebody else. Alex Bregman, when he opts inevitably out of his contract after this season. So it was a gutsy move for Craig Breslow and John Henry and Red Sox leadership. But if you are looking for an upside for it, if you're a Red Sox fan who's down in the dumps, which totally makes sense because Rafael Devers is an excellent hitter, it's that they were decisive. And the Red Sox in the recent past have not always been this decisive, but in this instance, they were. And now, unfortunately for them, the saga is over, as opposed to Devers and defense hanging over the rest of this season and beyond.
Of course, this seems similar to what happened with Mookie Betts. I mean, they win the World Series in 2018, and shortly thereafter, they end up trading him to the Dodgers. I mean, if you're a Red Sox fan, this is a big market team. This is a team that, this is not the Pittsburgh Pirates where they don't spend money. I mean, how should the Red Sox fans lost faith in this organization?
Maybe, but to me, Betts and Devers were two very different cases. Betts was a year from free agency, and based on the negotiations that had happened, the contract talks that had happened to that point, the Red Sox felt that they were not going to match up. And in that case, you can totally hold the Red Sox feet to the fire for being cheap and not giving Mookie Betts the deal that he wanted. And then they traded him and got very little in return ultimately. Whereas this trade of Devers was really not financially motivated at all. They got out from under the contract, which is a nice perk, but it was really about the fit on the roster and the fit on the clubhouse now and moving forward, to hear the Red Sox tell it. So have, with the two of those combined, have Red Sox fans lost faith in the organization? I think some have. Yeah, absolutely. It is impossible to sell this trade to a fan base that saw Mookie Betts get traded, saw Xander Bogaerts leave, and has not really done much winning since that 2018 World Series. That said, nothing makes fans' unhappiness go away, nothing fixes that quite like winning. So if the Red Sox figure out how to win this year, I think a lot will be forgiven.
Did the Red Sox get enough from the Giants?
Who's to say? They didn't get a whole lot, but in the Giants taking on the rest of Devers' contract, they were never going to get a lot. Kyle Harrison is a still interesting young pitcher. He's in AAA right now. The Red Sox are going to make some tweaks to him to see if he can have more success in the majors with them than he had with the Giants after being widely regarded on all the prospect rankings coming into 2024. Then they got Jordan Hicks, who's, you know, in theory a good late inning reliever, and then a couple other minor leaguers who are farther away. So did they get enough? I don't know if you can ever get enough for a guy like Rafael Devers, but they got what they thought was the best deal after apparently asking around quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, did Devers, what was the clubhouse like with him? I mean, was there animosity? Were there some players that supported him? What sense did you get for the support or lack thereof within the clubhouse?
You know, it's hard for me to tell, having been here for just a couple of weeks before Devers got traded. But I can tell you that on Monday afternoon in Seattle, when the Red Sox gathered for their first game post Devers, everybody seemed pretty much normal, pretty much okay with it. People didn't seem upset. They were joking around with each other, going through their usual pregame routines, playing cards, watching TV, going out on the field and stretching, working out. So I don't think the front office in dumping Devers really did, you know, I don't think it really upset the clubhouse necessarily. I think the remaining Red Sox are pretty much okay moving on with their lives.
I mean, Devers, I mean, I think he probably deserves some backlash for saying that the ownership should look for somebody. I mean, you're supposed to be a team player. You're supposed to help out with if somebody gets hurt. I mean, you've played in infield before. I mean, help out for a few games. I mean, what's it going to do to hurt your career? I mean, it seems like he came off as a selfish, especially now when he had his press conference for San Francisco. He said that he'll play anywhere.
Yeah, I thought that's a great point. And he's working out at first base. He's going to play first base maybe even this weekend. They haven't ruled that out when the Giants and the Red Sox play in San Francisco, which would be fascinating. But I think if you are on the Red Sox and you watch the presser or see a clip of it and see Devers say he's going to play wherever the team wants him to play and he's going to start working out at first base immediately, a fair reaction would be, what the heck is that about? You know, why wouldn't you do that for us? So, you know, you're right. Devers came off as selfish, and as poor as the Red Sox communication seemed to be with him at times starting in the offseason, ultimately, you should probably just do what your bosses ask. So he was a malcontent, and, you know, honestly, I don't blame the Red Sox for doing what they did.
This leads into a question from Hanson Quickle. Hanson's a good friend of mine down in York, Pennsylvania. We know each other from our York College of Pennsylvania days. He's a big Red Sox fan, and he wants to know if you think Breslow is to blame for the Sox losing Devers because he didn't use the P word, please, when suggesting that he play first base.
I would be surprised if the word please had anything to do with it. I think when adults are speaking about doing favors or being a good employee or being a good team player, I don't know that please should really have much of an impact on things.
I mean, how ironic is it that less than a week after he was traded, they're facing each other starting Friday night in San Francisco?
It is a wild coincidence. The Red Sox come to San Francisco once every other season, and it just so happens that they're here this weekend, 5 days after trading Rafael Devers to the Giants. That's bizarre, and I guess the baseball gods have a sense of humor, so I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, what do you think it's going to be like when the Red Sox see their old teammate?
I think everybody's going to play nice. I think there will be laughs and hugs and handshakes and hellos and all that usual stuff. I don't think there will be too much relitigating of recent months and recent events from the parties involved. But the real interesting part is going to be what happens once the game starts, because, you know, I did not get to know Rafael Devers well in my couple of weeks covering him, but I'll be curious to see if spite is a big motivator for him this weekend. Maybe he pops off, or, you know, maybe he tries too hard and then has a bad weekend. So the beauty of it is we get to find out.
I mean, does management still believe that this team can get in the wild card spot?
It seems that way, and they're going to have the trade deadline. Well, let me put it this way. They have about 6 weeks until the trade deadline to see what the team as is looks like and whether they can keep winning enough to stay in the wild card race. And then they can, of course, add reinforcements at the trade deadline. It's worth noting that it's really easy to get to the playoffs these days. If you miss the playoffs, it's just a flabbergasting failure of a season, especially for these Red Sox who entered the season looking pretty darn good. So they're only 4.5 games back in the AL East. They are right in the thick of things in the wild card race, currently holding one of those spots. So, yeah, they can still make the playoffs.
What would determine, I mean, obviously the trade deadline is not till late July. I mean, when do you think that they, if they see themselves struggling late July, then they sell? Who would they sell?
Yeah, I mean, they can take it right up until late July, which a lot of teams do these days because of how wide open the playoff races tend to be. As far as who they would sell, I mean, it could be anybody. If they turn in the sellers, you have to go straight to the pending free agents. That's Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, or Aroldis Chapman would be a good one. The interesting guy would be Jarren Duran, whose name gets floated in trade rumors a lot lately. Was an all-star last year, is not going to be an all-star this year, not having it nearly as good of a season. But he's a fun player, can play all over the outfield, really fast. He's a triples machine. Interesting character. So if the Red Sox do become sellers, which I don't expect, keep an eye on Jarren Duran.
What's Alex Cora's status as a manager? I mean, is he safe or is he under pressure to get this team to the playoffs?
He's safe. I mean, I don't think there's really... The seat is not hot, I'll put it that way. He is almost half of a season into a three-year contract, and his team has a winning record, is playing its best baseball, and has a playoff spot at this moment. So Alex Cora is in decent shape right now.
How do you think, and I know you've only been there a couple weeks, but how do you think he handled the Devers situation?
It was kind of weird, because if I'm the Red Sox, and let's go back to the offseason, if I'm the Red Sox, Craig Breslow, Alex Cora, and you are considering signing Alex Bregman, third baseman, then it would behoove you to say to your current longtime third baseman, homegrown star, face the franchise, fan favorite, hey, Rafi, we're thinking about signing a third baseman. Don't know what's going to happen. Bregman's really good. Just want to let you know and get your thoughts on that. And you would think that Cora, as the communicator, the player's manager, the Spanish-speaking player's manager, would go to Devers and say something to that effect. And that apparently never happened, which I think is so, so odd. And that the Red Sox never were straight up with Devers about the potential signing of Bregman all offseason was the beginning of this. And if they had just been upfront with him about it, the whole thing could have unfolded completely differently.
Yeah. Another listener, John Kelly, has asked, makes a comment, if the Sox ended up using his money to better the team, fine. They more than were likely were not going anywhere with him. Your thoughts on that comment?
About not spending the Devers money?
Well, no, he said if the Sox end up using his money to better the team, fine. They more than likely were not going anywhere with him.
Yeah, I mean, part of the upside for the Mets is having all these previously accounted for funds now free again. So they sure as heck better spend that money, whether it's on a bunch of free agents next offseason or on one big fish, like I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So I fully anticipate that money getting spent. They're not just going to, you know, pocket it. That would be quite odd. But whether the Red Sox were not going anywhere with Devers, I don't know. They started to turn it around, but Devers was a big part of that with, you know, the best offensive numbers on the team. But they've also won the first series post-Devers. So I still think, you know, whether or not they had kept him, they still could have done a lot of winning this year. But hard to say whether, you know, what would have happened in that version of the future.
Yeah. You mentioned before we went on the air here, Boston made a move today?
Yes. Christian Campbell, the rookie who made the team out of camp, demoted to AAA Worcester, which is not really a surprise because he'd been struggling for going on 2 months now after a very hot start to the season. But he hadn't been very good at the plate, in the field, and the Red Sox view this as a reset for a player they still think highly of and who still has an 8-year, $60 million contract that he signed several days into his major league career. So the Red Sox have a lot invested in Campbell, and they think this is the best path to make sure he is worth that investment.
Yeah. I go back to listening to that. I go back to what Philly signing Scott Kingery for a lot of money and really had proven himself, and he never lived up to the hype. And you hope that this helps reset the Red Sox player.
Yeah, Scott Kingery is basically the worst-case scenario for Christian Campbell right now. The best-case scenario being maybe, you know, somebody like Mike Trout, who struggled at first, got sent down, then became the best player in baseball. So I'm not sure Campbell's going to become Trout, but, you know, he seems like a nice guy. I'm hoping he doesn't become Kingery.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the Mets. I mean, you cover them for years. Obviously, the Juan Soto, he's not really lived up to the contract. I mean, can you compare it to what Lindor went through this first year, struggling, maybe trying to do too much?
Yeah, I think it's easy to make that comparison. Big star, signs a huge contract, wants to live up to that contract and is playing, you know, getting big money, has a huge salary for the first time in his career, really. And sometimes when you're on a new team with new fan base, you want to make a good first impression, and it sort of goes the other way. The Lindor comparison is interesting because as weird and bad as Lindor's first season with the Mets was, he's totally turned it around since then. Mm-hmm. MVP candidate, fan favorite, leader in the clubhouse, all of that stuff. Probably going to be an all-star with the Mets for the first time this year. So, I'm not too worried about Juan Soto, but yeah, it's been an underwhelming start to his first year. Or I guess it's been an underwhelming first year and an underwhelming start to his Mets tenure.
What will you miss about covering the Mets?
What I will miss about covering the Mets is dealing with and getting to talk to Brandon Nimmo, who is an absolute delight and probably, definitely on the Mount Rushmore of favorite players I've covered in going on a decade of covering the major leagues. So Brandon Nimmo is an absolute delight. I'm going to miss dealing with him. And I will miss seeing up close and on a daily basis what becomes of this arc the Mets are on, this era of building a team under David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza. They've had a great year and a half, and I'll of course be watching from afar, but I'll be curious to see where all this ends up.
I mean, especially the Mets are outspending the Yankees. I mean, who ever heard of that? Who ever thought that would happen?
Yeah, it's a new world order in baseball and in New York. New York, I'll tell you, before I moved to Boston, maybe it was sort of some sort of availability bias mentally on my part, but I swear in New York, in Manhattan, there were a lot more Mets hats and Mets stuff on the streets, people wearing it, than Yankee stuff. Wow. And I just think New York badly wants to be a Mets town. And if the Mets, you know, are really a winner, if they go on a good run of a few years here, win a title maybe, then I think New York will be Mets town.
Well, I'm hoping as a Phillies fan they get swept by the Phillies this coming weekend. So
well, the Mets are in rough shape right now, rotation wise especially. So the Phillies are catching them at a good time. As opposed to April.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. I also have a lot of my college friends are Mets fans, so we're probably going back and forth texting each other and giving each other grief. So a lot of fun this weekend. And yeah. Tim, I appreciate you over the years, talking to me with the Mets, and hopefully we'll do this with the Red Sox.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. Enjoy the games out there this weekend with the Red Sox and Giants. So it's going to be interesting to watch how they, the whole Devers situation. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Will do.
All right. That's
likewise. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it again.
Thanks, Ken.
All right. That's Tim Healy. Be back to wrap up the podcast and have the latest winners in the Daily Gazette's Auto Racing Contest in just a moment.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity. From the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, I'm Stan.
And I'm Shen.
And each week we bring you the Stan and Shen Show. And each week we talk about fun things through our travels throughout the capital region. We touch on food, we touch on news, try to touch heavily on good news. And Shen's always available with hot takes.
Yeah, so if you could follow along and listen to us every week on dailygazette.com or on all major streaming platforms, we'd love to have you join us.
Hi, this is Union College hockey alum Adam Przyznik. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott.
Back to wrap up the podcast, and we have 2 weeks of winners in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest to announce. The week 16 winner in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest was Robert Coleman of Greenfield Center with 50 points. Robert wins a $50 gift card. Congratulations, Robert. The VIP winner was Scott Lusher of Capital Land GMC with 30 points. The week 17 winner was Pat McGrath of Mechanicville with 55 points. Pat wins a $50 gift card. Congratulations, Pat. The VIP winner was Jerry Peel of Frankensons with 55 points. I'll announce the Auto Racing Contest winner's name, and that winner's name will appear in Saturday's Daily Gazette. To play, go to dailygazette.com and click on the Auto Racing Contest banner. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, and do it for your friends. And as a reminder, as always, vaccines do not cause autism. Don't forget to download the Daily Gazette app and sign up for our e-edition so you never miss a headline. Subscribe today at www.dailygazette.com. We have a lot of great specials going on. When credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. On the latest edition of the Stan and Shen Show, Stan Hootie and Shenandoah Briere talk about the Scotia Independence Day fireworks celebration on June 27th with Scotia Board Trustee and event organizer Justin Cook. Stan and Shen will be the MCs for the event. Subscribe to the Stan and Shen Show on all your podcast listening platforms. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I want to thank Tim Healy for coming on the show. Next week, I'm scheduled to have RPI men's hockey legend Matt Murley on the show to talk about his upcoming induction into the New York State Hockey Hall of Fame, his thoughts on the new RPI head coach Eric Lang, and his association with Paul the Biz Bizinette. Please tune in. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at shot, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on X, Threads, and Blue Sky at Slapshots. The views expressed in the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I'm Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good sports, and we leave you with the late Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys with their classic song, God Only Knows. Rest in peace, Brian.
Always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should believe me. Though life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.